Let's go to Life of the Messiah, page 162. I'm going to do a challenge to you, and maybe you'll figure it out tonight. Maybe you'll have to work on it this week. Okay. So what we're doing now is we're entering the Passover the night before the Lord's crucified. So we're on Thursday, and the exact date on this is April 6, 30 AD, 14th Nisan. Luke 22, 7 through 13. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. They celebrated unleavened bread and Passover at the same time. That's why it's called the day of unleavened bread. Okay. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" Now, this is very interesting, okay? He's going to give them details about where to prepare it. And what I want you to see is how nonspecific he is. And it's a reason for it. And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now that's very unusual. Very, very unusual. Brilliant, but unusual. He says, let's go back. He doesn't say, "Hey, it's left of the cypress tree, two houses down, we're going to Lazarus's house," or something like that. He doesn't say that. Why is he so nonspecific? Because what has happened chronologically before this? Judas has decided to betray our Lord, right? He's decided to betray him. And Judas is looking for an opportunity to get him cornered and to call the Roman authorities. What better place to get him cornered than inside of a house while everyone's eating and to get him arrested so there's no rioting and no one knows what's going on? You see how that could play into it? Jesus knows this. And so Jesus is giving specific directions to them that give Judas no way of knowing where they're going to celebrate the Passover. Now, Judas will be with them, but he's not going to have Judas know where it's going to be. It's kind of like Judas going in there blindfolded because he doesn't want to be betrayed at Passover. He wants to partake of the Passover to fulfill it, and then fulfill it tomorrow physically the next day, because he's going to be arrested. He wants to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's controlling the whole thing. So this idea of you're going to find a man carrying water. Now you and I say, "Well, what's the big deal? It's the guy carrying a bucket of water." No. That was very unusual. There are over 2 million people who are in Jerusalem at this day, at this time. All of Israel is descended upon the temple precincts in Jerusalem, and there's thousands upon thousands of people scattered everywhere. There's tents everywhere, all over it. It's like tent city. Okay? And you're telling me to go into Jerusalem with 2 million people and find a guy with carrying water? Yeah, because there will never, ever be a guy carrying water. Guys did not carry water in the Middle East. Only women carried water. It was a woman's duty to carry water. No man ever touched carrying water. So the fact that he's going to send them into a crowd of 2 million people, it's like putting a banner on the guy saying, "That's the one." And of course, there he is walking with water. And boom, that's the signal. So that's why it's very unusual. It would be like a lighthouse, basically, seeing a guy doing this. It's very unusual. And then, of course, showing his omniscience, he says, tell him this, tell him that, you know, where to eat the Passover. Teacher says this. So the guy has a recognition of who Jesus is. And again, we don't know all the details about this guy. He assumes that the guy knows. Maybe Jesus appeared to him in a vision. Maybe Jesus talked to him in a dream. I don't know. But the guy knows who Jesus is. And says, "The teacher said this." He instantly knows it's Jesus. So they make the upper room ready, and they prepare the Passover. Okay, a little bit about the Passover. And you see it a lot of times when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, but I want you to think about this, because I'm going to get you into some really heavy thinking. There's about 9 steps the disciples will have to take in doing this. So he sends them off to get this ready. Okay. The first thing they got to do is they've got to go get a lamb to have it slaughtered in the temple precincts, right? So they have to get a lamb. It has to be without blemish. It has to be slaughtered. They have to slice its neck. And there's a way of doing it that the lamb actually wouldn't feel it. If you slice the lamb's neck in a certain area, he doesn't feel it and he just bleeds out and he becomes unconscious. So he doesn't feel any pain or anything like that. But what they would do is the disciples would have to do that. They would slice the lamb's throat at the temple precincts. The blood would flow into a bowl and they would catch it. And this would take place in the temple precincts from 3 to 6. Okay, the Psalms 113 to 118, the Hallel songs would be sung. They would have the lamb gutted. The entrails would be taken out. And then the disciples would take the rest of the carcass back with them to roast it that night. Okay? The rest would be left to the priests. Okay. They would also have to go get the harush. They would have to get the other items for Passover and get that prepared as well. So they had to do some shopping a little bit to get that ready. And then they would obviously go back to the upper room. It's speculation where they're at. We think they're at the same place, we think, that Pentecost happened. We think. Again, it's speculation, but the idea and the tradition is that this is John Mark's father and mother's house in Jerusalem. That's the tradition. Again, we're not going to be dogmatic, but if that's the case, then obviously you could see the pattern happening with Pentecost happening there as well. Okay, here's the problem. Are you ready for the problem? Now, if you solve it right now, you won't have any homework. But here's the homework. When is Passover? Is it at night? What day is it on? 14th of Nisan? It's on 14th of Nisan, right? Okay, so you say Friday, but you're talking Roman Greco time. Okay, let me throw a thing into you. They're eating Passover on Thursday night, right? They got a lamb. And they're obviously they slaughtered it, and they're eating it on a Thursday night. But yet, when he's crucified on Friday, the Pharisees say, I want the body down so we can eat the Passover. They ate Passover on Friday night. But yet Jesus is eating it on Thursday night. What day is the Passover? There's two Passovers. Let's retrace the steps. Jesus eats the Passover, which now turns into the Lord's Supper, on Thursday night. Yet the Pharisees are eating it on Friday night because they want the body down so it doesn't ruin the Passover, right? So they pleaded with Pilate, take the body down so we can partake of the Passover. The question is, when does Passover begin then? Who's wrong and who's right? Or are they both wrong? What's going on here? How could Jesus eat the Passover when another part of Israel is eating the Passover on Friday night? Well, wait a second. Hold on. How did they get a lamb that slaughtered for Passover if they're slaughtering the lambs while he's on the cross the next day? The lambs are being slaughtered from 9 to 3, and then there's a whole bunch of carcasses from the rest from 3 to 6 on Friday. Blood everywhere. Very bloody. Okay? So the day Jesus is crucified in the temple precincts, lambs are being slaughtered like there's no tomorrow. And that's the lambs you would have ate. You have to slaughter the lamb first before you eat it, right? You can't eat a lamb and then vice versa. I mean, that's common sense, right? How in the world are they celebrating the Passover on Thursday night, yet they're slaughtering lambs on Friday? Slaughtered them early? There's more than one Passover. The Jewish way of interpreting time is very different than a Greco-Roman. All this comes back is you got to know Jewish tradition. You have to know Jewish tradition. Because here's what will happen. I've seen people use this passage to say, your scriptures are contradicting themselves. How can Jesus be the Passover when it's celebrated on Thursday and it happened on Friday? He should have ate it on Friday night, but yet he would have been dead. Right? And that would be an apparent contradiction if Jesus is fulfilling the Passover. And a lot of skeptics actually use this against us. So this is how you answer skeptics. Usually skeptics don't know Jewish tradition. And here's the Jewish tradition. There are two methods of reckoning time in Jewish tradition. The country was split on recognizing these two times. In northern Israel, they considered a day from sunrise to sunrise the next day. So Passover would have been Thursday sunrise to Friday sunrise in northern Israel. In the other Jewish reckoning, in southern Israel, they saw time as sunset to sunset. So it'd be Passover would start sunset Thursday and finish sunset Friday. The view of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was they were always centered down in southern Israel. So their view of time was sunset to sunset, Thursday sunset, Friday sunset. That's why they wanted to eat the Passover that night. Where did Jesus come from? Where was his headquarters? Where did he live? Where is the disciples from? Northern Israel. Hence, the northerners celebrated Passover on the Thursday. And the southerners celebrated it on the Friday. So what was going on in the temple? And so, Bob, you were getting close to an economic thing, but it wasn't so much economics. It was a numerical problem. Because you had 2 million people all trying to get into the temple precincts. They welcomed the fact that there was 2 days to celebrate Passover, just like you celebrate Christmas with Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So half of Israel went to the temple on Thursday and did their stuff. Northern Israel did their stuff on Thursday. Southern Israel did their stuff on Friday. And it worked not economically, but numerically, because it broke the crowds in half. Because you can't have 2 million people trying to do sacrifices within a three-hour time gap. You can't do it. So it worked out that there was two reckonings of time, and hence, both are correct. And hence, that's why Jesus celebrated on Thursday, and then he was sacrificed as a sacrificial lamb on Passover on Friday as well. So he did satisfy the holiday, which was really 2 days because of the way of Jewish reckoning of time. Do you see how imperative it is to know Jewish background? Otherwise, a skeptic comes to Eric and says, Eric, your Messiah was crucified on the wrong day. And what does Eric say? Okay. Right? That's how most Christians, because of not knowing the Jewish background, they say they don't really know how to answer that. You're right. He was crucified, but how would he take the Passover because they were celebrating on Friday night? Jewish. So every time you run into a thing that doesn't make sense, tell yourself there's got to be a Jewish explanation for this. And guaranteed, it will be. Guaranteed. It's just us Gentiles don't get it. We don't get the way they thought and the way they had their time.